Peace, peace. Hello, hello. Terrific Tuesday. Good afternoon and all of the pleasantries that are available. Welcome to season 3, episode 2 of the podcast, Mental Health is Sexy with Coach V from the 513. I am your host, Coach V, certified mindfulness coach, speaker, author, and the creator of the Mental Health is Sexy brand. We created the Mental Health is Sexy brand in an effort to make the attainment and the sustainment of mental health an alluring, attractive, and desirable thing. It's time for the conversation around mental health to be changed. It's time for the treatment or delivering of mental health services to be changed. And it's time to finally erase the stigma around mental illness. And we do all of those things and more on this podcast. That's a helicopter as I'm sitting in the sunshine state on the patio recording this podcast episode. I had to wait for the groundskeepers to finish mowing or whatever noisy stuff they were doing. So hopefully we'll be able to get this episode out and delivered and published in one fell swoop while it's quiet. So again, welcome to the Mental Health is Sexy with Coach V from the 513 podcast. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, share, like, and be sure to follow Coach VMP on Instagram at Coach VMP. V is spelled V-E-E-M-P on Instagram. Check out our website at www.coachvmp.com to check out the services that we offer. And be sure to visit www.coachvmpdesigns.com to check out our lifestyle brand, which has apparel and accessories that feature our signature message that mental health is sexy, as well as a slew of self-help materials that will help you along your mental health and healing journey in a non-medicinal way. So now that we've got all those pleasantries and informations and follow us on IGs out the way, I want to talk about a different segment we're going to drop on this podcast beginning today. If you follow me on any social media platforms or have rocked with me before or have seen me in person or read my book, you know that I subscribe to alternative healing, alternative practices, alternative techniques, etc., etc., etc. And that just means I subscribe to things in a non-medicinal, non-clinical way in order to heal thyself as well as to support your mental health. With that being said, one of the things that I have been practicing for years that I am now going to share and introduce to the public is my skills at dream interpretation. One of the things that I do practice is meditation, various forms of meditation, and I've done it for so long and gotten so good at it that I can think a thought or ask a question right before bed and expect to receive the answer or clarity or next steps or direction in my dreams. And I typically wake up between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. and I receive the message or the answer to what I'm looking for. And so I make a note about that, or I make a text message about that, and I go back to sleep. Right? Because I don't want to forget all the important tidbits that were revealed to me in my dream. So with all that being said, I recently, like last night, early this morning, had such a clear, vivid message thrown across me while my spirit was tap dancing through the universe. And I thought that it would be cool for me to start sharing with you all these messages that I receive within my dreams in an effort to help you today, tomorrow, next week, or maybe even understand something that's happened in the past that you haven't been able to put all the puzzle pieces together for. And I also plan on sharing with you through the message why that helps support my mental health, why it gives me clarity, why it gives me peace of mind, why it gives me direction into where to go or where not to go sometimes in this journey of life on this planet Earth, right? So I hope you feel what I'm saying. I hope you are interested in what I'm saying. I hope it hits a spot for you consciously or subconsciously that gives you that aha moment, that moment of clarity, that moment of peace. And I'm also hoping that you can share the information with someone else who may be struggling or who may have questions or who may be looking for some sort of guidance or direction during this existence on this planet Earth, right? So with that being said, if you have any questions or comments, there will be a snippet or a preview or a, hey, go check out my podcast post on my Instagram page at Coach VMP. So make sure that you find me on Instagram, make sure that you follow me, and make sure that if you have a question or a comment from this episode, that you find the post about this dream interpretation message with Coach V, part one, and leave your question, comment, or answer there. If it's something in a more private nature, feel free to jump in my DMs. So let's get this started. As I mentioned earlier, when I have questions in my waking life, or whether I need guidance, whether I'm strictly praying, whether I'm meditating, whether I'm having a gratitude session, whether I'm journaling, whether I'm just driving or walking along and participating in mindfulness, I typically ask for specific guidance, questions, or directives, and I expect to receive them once I close my eyes to sleep, to put my physical being to rest. That could be in the evening, that could be an afternoon nap if it's something really pressing that I'm looking for an answer. That could be me staying up working through the night and then going to sleep in the AM. I'm stressing that to say this. I know that we all take a sleep, whether it's a nap or an 8-hour sleep, 6-hour sleep, whatever, at different times during the day. So I'm explaining it this way because I don't want my message to be lost upon someone who may think like, oh, this only works when I go to bed at night. No, I am known for taking a nap in the afternoon to receive an answer that I'm looking for, or direction, or piece of clarity. So this works when you're sleeping, period. Because we don't just dream when we sleep at night. We daydream, we afternoon dream, we dream during the cat nap, we dream in the car on our lunch break. So I don't want my message being lost in the fact that, oh, it has to be when you're going to sleep for the finality at the end of your day, right? So with that being said, part one is today, and welcome. The message from my dream today, point blank and period, had 5 letters in it and an exclamation point. And that message is, in all caps, let go. Yep, you heard me right. Simple as that. Let go. So first, what I like to do is set the dream up for you. After I set the dream up for you, I'm going to let you know the message that I received from that dream, the benefits from that message, and how specifically it helps support my mental health. You ready? Get your pens and your papers. Let go. Let go is the message from this dream interpretation message with Coach V. Let go. First, the dream. The dream itself was very emotionally charged. It's brought about some people and scenarios that I've experienced in my real waking life in the past. But then it also had elements of my dream where I didn't understand why specific people were shown to me in that dream. And so that's going to be another session that I have, most likely a meditative session, where I get clarity on why these particular people were present in my dream. Right now, I want to focus on the message itself that I received from the dream. So in the past, I experienced challenges with custody battles, juvenile court in the county that I live in, losing custody of one of my children, regaining custody, or as they say, having custody reallocated years later. I've been through those things, right? Those were personal real life experiences. However, the child that was in my dream today, last night, was not the child that those particular experiences happened with. Ironically, both of my children are adults now. So for me to have that type of dream about custody when both of my children are adults gave me the impression that there's some feelings, there's some emotions, there's some things not only attached to that situation, but just in life period that I still need to let go of. Okay. So in this dream, it was real Roman Empire style. Like I was in the middle of a circle of people, bystanders. And what's really interesting about this dream is that these hundreds or thousands, I don't even know how deep the circle went, the crowd went, but these faces were muted. So I can't tell you if they were black, white, Indian, Asian, alien, boy, girl, non-binary, adult, children, old, young. Like, I can't tell you that. I just know that there was a crowd cheering and just noise and chaos. However, there were some people that I saw in the dream that, now being awake and reciting this to you all, is kind of funny to me. Like, funny, strange, right? And a little funny, haha. My oldest daughter, who will be 20, was in the dream. My husband was in the dream. Cat Williams, yes, y'all heard me right. Cat Williams, as in Money Mike, was in my dream. He acted as the narrator, so to speak, or the mediator, so to speak, in the dream, which is ironic. And then one of my hometown influencers was in the dream. Now, I don't know why. At that moment, I didn't understand why they were in my dream, but those are the four people that I clearly remember when I woke up at 4:14 a.m. and began making the notes in my phone. Those are the four people that I put in my notes, as I clearly remember their faces being in my dream. Now, mind you, my child would be 20 in like less than 2 weeks, okay? And she's not the child that I had the most challenging custody situation with. So that's why this is totally ironic. Okay. So not ironic, but totally weird. Okay. So in the dream, and I was my present day self. It wasn't like an older version of me or a younger version of me. It was me and my present day self. And my daughter was in the dream, and we were surrounded by all of these spectators, all of these people. And I don't remember clearly the words they were using or chanting toward me, but I remember the feeling it gave me in my dream. And the feeling was they didn't believe me, they hated me, they wanted me punished. Like, it was not a supportive type of feeling in the dream. So in the dream, I just recall me yelling and pleading my case and fighting for why my child needs to stay with me. Again, I don't remember specifically the dialogue, but I remember the energy of me begging and pleading for support, people seeing through the BS and saying, yes, let her child stay with her. However, in the dream, my child was her present day self, which is almost 20. Now, I don't know why. I guess it was just customary in those times in my dream. I had my daughter caveman style, like dragging her about the circle by her hair, saying, no, she needs to stay with me. And the crowd wasn't angry with me about how I was dragging my grown child around, because again, whatever the feeling was at that time, that was acceptable. It was the words that were being placed against me, the lies, the slander, the disrespect that upset the crowd. So not how I was dragging my child around, because I'm like, when I woke up and was making my notes this morning, I'm like, oh my gosh, why would I do that to her? Like, she's a foot taller than me. Like, it was just really, really weird. However, in the dream, like I said, they weren't chastising me for that. So that let me believe that at that time, that was acceptable at that moment in my dream. I'm looking to my daughter for support, and she just goes limp. She's playing like she's dead. She's playing like she can't hear me. She's playing into the crowd, looking all sad and like, oh, I don't want to be with my mom. Pardon me. And that hurt me even more. That broke my heart even more. And I remember looking amongst the crowd and zooming in on a couple faces where I don't know if they were the jurors or the decision makers, but I remember feeling as if, okay, I may have a chance because I see the sympathy in this person's eyes. I see the doubt in this person's eyes. I see the tears in this person's eyes. So yes, I do have people on my side that are believing my version of events. However, they are scared into remaining silent. So maybe in the end, they'll speak up for me. Maybe in the end, they'll throw a curveball. Maybe in the end, it'll be a hung jury. Like, so I'm living and hoping on this and playing towards these people's emotions that I can see on their face that are being swayed. There was a moment in the dream, though, where the hate and the disrespect and the feeling and the energy of the crowd got so intense that I gave up. After dragging my daughter by her hair amongst this little Coliseum style situation and screaming at the top of my lungs and crying and pleading and having people just curse me and throw these angry words my direction and have more people against me than for me, the moment that I knew that I wasn't going to win, the moment that I knew that my voice was not going to be heard, the moment that I accepted that these people's minds were made up, I let my daughter's hair go. I threw my hands up in surrender and I walked away. And I remember as I was walking from the center of the chaos and I was walking towards my car, the crowd split and they let me walk. No one pushed me, no one tripped me, no one spit on me. They just let me walk away. It was as if they were pressuring me to let go. And the more that I resisted, the more intense and mean and hateful they became. However, at the moment that it clicked, that light bulb came on, that I accepted just to let go, the crowd was peaceful. They parted like the Red Sea, and I was not attacked while I walked to my car. And this part of the story is important because the way that they were yelling at me and talking about me while I was still holding on, I should not have been able to walk through any of them and not get punched, tripped, spit on, tomatoes thrown at me, a rock busting my head open. Like, that's how aggressive the crowd was as long as I was holding on. You know how sometimes even when someone surrenders, whether it's in movies or, you know, real life situations, even when that person finally surrenders, there's always a handful of people that still got to get their last licks in. Whether they're throwing something, whether they're hitting, and it's like, okay, leave them alone. They're walking away. Or someone got to shove them in the back. Like, there's always people around that got to get their last licks in. Like, yeah, I thought so. I told you to go. It wasn't like that in my dream. They parted like the Red Sea. And I do remember that during the time of me being in the middle of the chaos, the sky was dark and gloomy. And it looked like there was a threat of rain, which never came. It's just the atmosphere was dark and gloomy. The moment that I released my daughter's hair and walked through the crowd peacefully, on the other side of that crowd, there was sunshine and white fluffy clouds and a blue sky and the birds were singing. And even though internally I was still dealing with the trauma, the things ahead of me were bright and sunshiny and pleasant and happy and joyful. A complete contrast to how I felt internally and to how I felt in the circle, in the middle circle of that chaos. I got into my car, I drove off, and then I woke up. In real life, I woke up, I had to go relieve myself, went to the restroom. The entire time I'm remembering tidbits of my dream, right? Because I'm still in the middle of waking up and being awake, right? You know how you just do that zombie walk when you have to get up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom? That's the state that I was in. After I used the restroom, washed my hands, came immediately back to the bed, I pulled my phone out and made myself a note. And I said, okay, we're going to talk about this on the next podcast episode, and we're going to share some things, and we're going to start this new segment talking about dream interpretation messages with Coach V. So that's a setup, a scenario of the dream itself. Here's the message from the dream. A lot of times we go through situations in life, past or present, that we are so hell-bent on holding on to whatever truth, whatever story, whatever experience, whatever trauma, whatever win, whatever loss, we're so hell-bent to hold on to those things that we don't even notice how stressful or how much of a burden or how weighed down we actually are when we're holding on to something that doesn't even matter. As I mentioned in my dream, my oldest child, who will be 20 in less than 2 weeks, was who I was fighting to have the courts or the crowd believe, no, she needs to be with me. I'm a good mom. I need to hold custody. Can you understand how pointless that fight was? Because my child will be 20. So that means by law, for 2 years, she's been an adult, which means there is no custody battle. There is no fight for who she chooses to live with. Because she grown. But in that moment, I was so focused on proving a point, my motherhood. I was so focused on being right. I was so focused on debunking myths and lies. I was so focused in proving that the negative things that were said about me were past things. They're no longer true. I was so focused on proving and holding on to those things that I did not comprehend that in that moment, that entire experience, argument, conversation was null and void because my child is now an adult. Let that sink in. Think about a situation in your life, past or present, that you were so focused on arguing somebody down or defending yourself down to the T or proving a point so adamantly that it caused you emotional turmoil, mental stress, physical exhaustion, and it was something that didn't even matter. Something that was outdated, something that was pointless. Think about that. And think about the moment, if it's true for you, think about the moment where you chose to let that thing go. Now, the reason why I say if it's true for you, because some of us still fighting. Some of us ain't got the message yet to let it go. So that's why I said that. But for those of us who at some point made a decision to let that thing go, think about the immediate sense of relief that you felt. How good it felt to finally put that bag down. And to not be so consumed or care about what the next man, woman, non-binary thinks. Think about how many times we've allowed ourselves to be tricked into situations where we didn't look like a complete and utter fool. And then we let that thing go and we're able to look back and say, damn, why didn't I do that sooner? I wasted all that time, all that money, all those tears, all those resources trying to prove something to somebody or somebody's, and it wasn't even worth it. Think about the freedom and the mobility that you gained when you let that thing go. Think about how flexible you became, whether it's with your time, whether it's with your body, whether it's with your finances. Whether it's with your emotional state, whether it's with your mental capacity, whether it's with your intellect, whether it's with your style of conversation. Think about how free and mobile you felt when you let that thing go. One of the biggest advantages of being in a situation like that is that you learn, you've gained new wisdom for the next time a situation approaches to possibly trick you out of your peace of mind, out of your freedom, out of your mobility. This is where we must learn to check that thing, that three-letter thing that we all have that consistently puts us down a path of destruction, and that's that ego. That ego of ours gets us into so many tight binds, crazy situations, different problems and occurrences that when we mature and we look back, we like, I ain't even had to go through all that. That wasn't even worth it. That ego is what keeps us in the space of proving ourselves. That ego is what keeps us in the space of needing to be validated. That ego is what keeps us in the space of vindication by our fellow man. Sometimes we just gotta let that thing go. And move forward into new paths, new direction, explore new journeys and new opportunities that allow us to grow and flourish and hopefully teach the next generation behind us. Think about when you decide to let that thing go. There's a saying that a lot of people verbalize, but they really don't follow it. I've been guilty of that. And the saying is, let go and let God. We know the saying. We've heard different variations of it. It all means the same thing. Basically, let go of whatever care, worry, concern, problem, gripe, challenge that you have and let God handle it. Let God figure it out. Let God send us the answer. Let God punish our enemies. Whatever it is, we know the saying, let go and let God. But how many times do we actually live by those words? It's a challenge for us because when we say that saying and we follow it, that means we have to display a level of trust in the unknown. Meaning we're not sure how it's going to be fixed, how it's going to be resolved, how God's going to come through. whatever God looks like for you. We're not sure of that part. So when we let go and let God, or just let go, period, we are letting go and surrendering to the fact, okay, I don't know how this is going to fix and be handled. However, I am surrendering from trying to figure it out, from holding on to it, from dragging it around. When it's a pointless conversation, it's a pointless struggle, it's a pointless fight. It's something that we could have done without. I want to share with you a couple examples of how you can begin to practice the art of letting go, right? Day-to-day situations, everyday situations in life that befall us all, that we can begin to practice the art of letting go. Being cut off in traffic. Now, unless we're actively working on ourselves, being cut off in traffic is something that will piss you off to the nines.com. An accident hadn't occurred, but it's the idea of being disrespected. It's an idea of somebody crashing into your car or causing you to crash into someone else because of their carelessness. Practice letting that go. And instead of choosing to walk down that path of being angry and upset and wanting revenge and tailgating and engaging in road rage and flipping two birds, practice the art of letting go and expressing gratitude that a collision didn't happen. Expressing gratitude that you were alert and paying attention enough that you were able to prevent an accident from happening. Let's talk about missed opportunities. Whether they're personal or professional, there are situations that occur to cause us to miss an opportunity. Or sometimes things that we think... So when I say opportunity, it could be quote unquote good or bad. An opportunity is an opportunity. You decide if it's a good or bad one. So I'm just saying opportunities in general. Let's say an email was sent to us for a particular opportunity, a positive one that we consider to be positive, and we didn't respond to the email fast enough, but someone we know responded to that email and they got the opportunity. So whether it's in the workplace or whatever, instead of being pissed at the person who acted quickly and took advantage of the opportunity, practice letting go. Practice using that energy and saying, okay, this is the thing that prevented me from seeing the email. Everything happens for a reason. This one must not have been for me, because I believe what is for me and will find me, get to me, and through me. So if I quote unquote miss this thing, it's not for me. However, I will learn from this and fix whatever the issue is with my email, check my email 2-3 times a day, whatever it is I need to do to make sure that I don't miss what I view as another opportunity, right? Positive opportunity. Let's talk about when we instruct our children or we ask our spouse to do something and they drop the ball in our eyes. A lot of the times, especially matriarchs of the family, we get pissed and we have this syndrome of nothing gets done right unless I do it. Or nothing to get done in the time that I want it done unless I do it. Let's practice the art of letting go. If we entrust our spouse or our children enough that we ask or we request them to take care of a piece of business for us or to complete a task for us, let's let go. Let's not micromanage. Let's trust them to do what we asked them to do. And once that thing is done, when we circle back around, if it's not quote unquote up to par, instead of jumping down their throats, let's do a self-inventory and see, were we clear in our request? Did we equip them with the right knowledge and skills and tools to do that thing the way that we wanted it done? If we did give them the right tools and the skill set, did we show them or demonstrate to them how we want it done? Because you can give me all the ingredients to bake a cake from scratch, but if you don't give me the recipe and the right mixers and the right table measurements and the right temperature of the oven, you can't expect me to get it right just because you gave me the right tools or the right ingredients. Tell me what to do with these things. So these are situations, everyday examples in life where we can practice the art of letting go. And the more and more that we practice this art of letting go, the more and more we'll be able to be well equipped and prepared when these medium-sized or larger things happen in our life, where it benefits us more to let go. So I hope that me sharing with you my dream and the message from my dream and the points that I've hit on from my dream helps you in some way, shape, form, or fashion. The way that my mental health is supported by the message I got in this dream, because it's stressful when you hold on to nonsense. It weighs you down. It manifests itself in a physical manner. You retain weight or you lose an extreme amount of weight. Headaches, illnesses are created. Anxiety, if it's something from the past, depression. So listening to this message and practicing its steps and following my techniques supports my mental health because it adds to my inner peace. It enhances my quality of life because I'm learning to let go. All right, y'all. That has been 30 minutes of me sharing with you just how sexy mental health is by following dream interpretation messages with Coach B. If you like this segment and you have any specific questions about dreams or about a message, I will do my best to assist you. Just be sure to follow me at Coach VMP on Instagram. Again, V is spelled V-E-E. Be sure to leave comments about this podcast episode there. Share with your friends, your family, listen to it with a loved one, and compare these things and these tips and see what you can implement ASAP to help you let things go. Let that thing go. Let go. L-E-T-G-O exclamation point. Let go. Don't forget to check out our lifestyle brand at www.coachvmpdesigns.com. You can also follow our page on Instagram at coachvmpdesigns. We are doing some price reductions site-wide over the next 48 hours. So be sure to check back if you were eyeballing a particular item. Actually, we're focusing on our phone cases first. I forgot. We're doing it in sections. So the phone cases first are going to be reduced. Our rainbow design phone cases, our signature design phone cases, tune in for the comeback phone cases. And these are available for Samsung and for iPhones. So be sure to check the website in the next 24 to 48 hours for those markdowns. Grab gifts for your friends, gifts for yourselves. Help us spread the message that mental health is sexy. And make sure you subscribe and follow this podcast. I will be back in another episode to share with you some sort of conversation that circles back around to mental health and how you can support your own mental health without medication, because that's what we do over this way. And don't forget to go on IG, follow me, and find the post related to this part one of Dream Interpretation Message with Coach V. The message is let go. I look forward to reading your comments and possibly talking about them on just a random Q&A episode of this podcast. So if you listen, you may hear your name get shouted out as well as your question being answered. Thank you so much for tuning in and giving me 30 minutes of your time to convince you just how sexy mental health is. We will see you in the next episode. Be blessed.